بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If I can take the opportunity to insert here a brief commercial break to inspire you to pay vast sums of money for my latest booklet. One of the hadiths in Bukhari, which Imam Ibn Hajar comments on in this selection, is the hadith al-Nawafil, which I was speaking about a few moments ago. And I think it's because of the possibility, however remote, of a misunderstanding through excessive literalness of this hadith Qudsi. It's useful to reflect on the various meanings that he offers. I'll read part of this, and you can read the rest. This is where he says, and when I love him, I am his ear with which he hears, his sight with which he sees, etc. Here the problem arises of how the Creator can be a slave's hearing and sight and so on. The answer has several aspects. Firstly, the meaning is, I am his hearing and his sight in his choosing my command, so that he loves my obedience and prefers my service. Secondly, the meaning is, his whole being is occupied with me, so that he listens with his hearing only to what pleases me, and sees with his eye only that which I have commanded him to behold. And he gives another four different interpretations from different ulama. He also explains the meaning that some of the later Sufis have discovered in the hadith. He says, some of the latest Sufis apply it to the spiritual degrees, the maqams of annihilation and obliteration. This is fana or mahu. These being the utmost point beyond which is the void. In this station, the Muslim is established by God's establishing him. He loves through God's love for him. He sees through his sight of him. Without there remaining with him anything to which a name could be attached or which relates to any matter or can be characterized by any predicate. The meaning of the discourse is that he witnesses Allah's establishment of him so that he is established, Allah's love of him so that he loves him, and his sight of him so that he comes looking to him with his heart. And then he closes by saying, in none of these interpretations is there any scope for the believers in ittihad, or those who believe in absolute unity, al-wahdatul mutlaqa, since he says in the remainder of the hadith, if he asks me, I shall surely grant him his request. If he seeks my protection, I shall surely grant him protection. In other words, the human subject still exists. This is not an annihilation of the human subject. Imam Ibn Hajar, a great lover of the Sufis, as is evident throughout his great commentary on Bukhari, is here drawing our attention to the negation by the Sufis of any literalist reading of this hadith that might lead us to the heretical belief in ittihad, that is to say, the uniting of the human being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is impossible. Two essences, a finite and an infinite, cannot coalesce into a single essence. It's logically impossible. Theologically impossible impugns the very principle of tawheed. Anyway, you can read the rest of that at your leisure. I think it's an important parenthetical comment.